Accession number 20461, reel 13.
We were mooching around this night when I heard of these officers all discussing this and that. And we went down looking for some food, to tell the truth. And anyway, we found some American ration canisters. And we started trying to undo them to take some back to the lads. And all of a sudden there's a Tika Johnny. Who's that? Bloody Gurkhas. They were guards guarding this food. Yeah, they come up there, you know, it was all bloody with their cookeries, you know. But anyway, they were very good, you know. They come up, they knew what it was about. And so we said, yeah, take away and all the rest of it. And we helped ourselves. We took them back to the lads. And they, because when we walked back with all this stuff, where'd you get that? Our Gurkha friends. Yeah, we had a good old tuck in, because the K rations, which the Americans had, was, you know, something. They had, did you ever see a K ration? They consisted of like an OXO. You could put that in hot water. They had a different type of biscuit to us, cigarettes, tin of fruit, all in this little K-ration. Beautiful, yeah. So, we started getting K-rations after that because our stuff was rubbish.
While you were at the tunnels, you said the platoon had been fairly badly cut up. Was that through casualties that you'd taken from the
various actions? They were from the Japs, because they were well... Yeah, but that was also, them guns of ours was a different kettle of fish, but the Japs...
What happened with that first position you were on? Had... You, was it artillery fire that had support you?
They're supposed to have put down a fire to protect us, but they must have got, as I say, they must have got their what's name's wrong, something, or we were too far away. I don't know.
So what had happened with you? You after all the fighting, you'd been, your platoon had been split up. Where had you gone to?
This was it, over the top of the tunnels. It was, yeah. And that's when we advanced quite a way that day, and then we, as I say, well, I think I don't know whether we overstepped our mark or whether the gunners had got their sightings wrong. I don't know.
And can you tell me a little bit more about the terrain around there?
Oh, it's all hilly and jungle, real jungle. Yeah, and the only parts where you've got a bit of open spaces where the showers have been dropping. It's all very dense, yeah.
How did you make your way through the jungle?
Well, you found a gap and you went through that gap, and you know, you had to keep probing all the time, you know, to find a room to move. And something else just come to me, which I'd forgotten, but this is what really happened was. We'll go back to one of our meetings, you know, our get-togethers, and I was on a table with three other blokes. I didn't know them, but anyway, they said someone's inquiring for a lady has come to the meeting, and she's heard about it, and she wanted to know, did anybody know Paddy Fannin? So I was sitting there, I said, Paddy, oh, blimey, I don't know Paddy. Because what happened to Paddy? Over the day that we were shelled by our guns, Paddy was shot by the Japs. He was on a higher climbing up, you know, and he was working his way along, and the Japs shot him. And I was sitting there, I said, no, I was just going to say, someone kicked me under the table. So when later on, I said, no, no one knows about Paddy, no, nobody knows about it. So I said, what was that about? He said, Christ's sake. I said, why? He says, fancy, you ain't going to tell her. What happened, are you? Best forget about it. And I thought, oh, Christ. So that was that. So we never did. But we buried him up on this place. And according to our padre, they left him there. Yeah, our padre said that he'd left there. He got his documents and all that. As long as they say he's killed, that was it. Killed in action, that was it. But he was buried up on that back of the tunnels.
Was he shot by a sniper?
I don't really know. I don't know if he was shot by two rounds or not, but I know he fell down. Paddy fell in.
In that area, did you have problems from Japanese snipers?
Yes. Yeah. They, as I say, I think we walked into a trap. I think it was a trap there, all right, yeah. But then, as I say, we moved on later on to that, and then we got to these features, you know, up, skip, jump, and tortoise, and several of them there was. And they were all manned by Japs. We were, as I say, we sent blokes around the back, all sorts of frontal attacks and all.
How would they conduct a frontal attack?
Well, I mean, we knew at the time that we were going to have a go at, I think it was a tortoise, I'm not, I know they said that if we get the tortoise, we'd go for they're going to go for the op, skip and the jump. They didn't, that's how we called it at the time. But as I say, the Japs were too strong there, and they brought up a lot of fresh troops. We fell back, and then I think we brought bombers over and bombed them, and then we were watching. Oh, that's another thing. Can't tell you what feature it was, but we saw the Japs in the daylight. They walk up the end of the tunnel, the trench, and had to piss up that end, and then walk back. And we tried to get them out of it. It took about 3 days before when we put in attack. I think it was. I don't know. Might be D Company. They put a more or less a frontal attack in, and they thought it was going to cop it, you know. Empty. They'd gone. But they're blimey, they see the trenches they dug. Beautiful. All timbered. So they intend to stay there, but they pulled out and they went to, and yet they came back on another feature. They said it's empty, and our blokes walked down there and walked straight into a trap. They'd come back during the night. They'd crept back in again. Things like that all the time.
And when you were advancing, could you see the Japanese positions in a frontal attack?
Yeah. Mind you, they bloody clever. They were better than us. I mean, I was trained to do a revetting. But they, you must admit, if you think of what they did, they moved all the way from right down Singapore. They've come all that way, and they were everywhere, which they paid the price, as you know, later on in time. But you think what they did? That's what I say. They don't mind dying.
Did they have bunkers as well as trenches?
Yeah.
What did they look like?
Where Harmon went up to that one, where that rice was. They were deep bunkers, all timbered. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing what they've done.
What, I mean, in comparison with your own trenches?
Well, you see, good example of this is they'd had a long time to prepare before they were going to advance into India. They were ready for being attacked, so they built everything. They had it all worked out. Now you take that, then you take Kohima, where we started from scratch. They had no idea the Japs were going to run over there, and they were all odds and sods. So we had to work bloody hard to try to get undercover. See, the Japs had already worked their defence. We had no time. That's the difference.
And how long were you in the tunnels area?
I reckon I'm not the same, really. I should have. About 3 months, I should think. About 3 months, I reckon. Yeah, around the area. Yeah, it's a long time.
And by the time you left, had the Japanese left the area?
No. When we left I think it was the Yorkshires, had captured got the tunnels and the roads were open through Yorkshire. But by that time, we had been taken out for a rest, and that's when they a little bit confusing here. Yes, it's after the hop, skip, and the jump, and all that was finished, that we pulled back behind. They attacked Yorkshire, attacked and went through because the Japs had fell back. That was what happened. So we had the tunnels. And it was that stage where they'd also brought another more troops up, and so that's when they decided we were going to pull right out, have a rest, and then over the top up north to Dimapur.
So do you want to tell me in detail what happened as you was pulled out for a rest?
Well, it was first of all, I know there was a lot of regrouping, but we lost. There was only a few of us left in our platoon. We were more or less attached to D Company then, and we were in a sorry state. But we did get some reinforcements. Then it was a question of getting all their stuff together to move, to fly out, and that was a job and a half. We had to had the mules. We found out there was an argument. They wanted us to go. It was very serious up there at Kohima. So what they decided is they've got to draw some aircraft from the Yanks. Now the Yanks were flying over the hump. And I think I don't think it was Slim, I didn't higher up. I think it was Mountbatten really got down to it with the Yanks, and they decided they'd spare us so many planes. Then they drew some planes from somewhere else. I think there was two lots of planes. I can't remember which, but I think the Yanks, I don't know whether the Yanks had Dakotas, and we had Dakotas and I can't think of what the other plane. We had our planes and they had theirs. And I think what it was, they decided that our planes would carry the mules and the Yanks would carry the troops. That's something like that. And the stores. But we stayed about 2 or 3 days. Then there was an argument about the... Because we slept under the planes of a night, you know, and then started loading up. Everything was checked. Ammunition and all the rest of it. Loads of stuff coming in. Muleteers were coming in. I think it was about three or four days were there. And I always remember when in our plane, there were Yanks. And as a plane took off, this Yankee sergeant came down and said, "Well, now come forward. He said, "Too much weight at the back." He said, "The plane won't take off." And we all fell forward. These planes, all they had, they didn't have proper windows, they just had little holes like that.
Like a small porthole.
Yeah, a small porthole, and you could take a little plastic thing, and you take it out, and then you go like that, and you suck it back in again. You know, we shot about with them, looking down. And as we took off, you know, like you look down, see all the flowers on top of the hill as we were taking off. That was a fascinating thing. That was.
Was that the first time you'd actually flown?
Yes. Yeah, first time. Yeah. Bill Basham, the Yankee sergeant. He said, Bill Basham said, "Oi, what? Why have you got a parachute?" He said, "Well, what do you mean, why?" He says, I'm asking you a question. He says, "Where's our parachutes? You haven't got one." He said, "Why have you got a parachute?" He says, "This is our airplane." He said, "Yeah, but what happened? Suppose we had to bail out." He said, "Well, bail out, you'll have to." He said, "But we're issued with parachutes." Bloody cheek, but even a little proper cockney. So anyway, we all settled down and that. And he's going, he says, "Where you're a cockney, you know, yes, you know, and all the rest of it." And do you know any cockney songs? Old Bill Basham said, "Well, bloody well ought to." He said, "We're bloody born down there." He said, "Sing us a song." He started to say, old Bill Basham, he was a character, he was. What was it? "We are the West Kent boys. We are the West Kent boys. When we're marching down the old Kent road, doors and windows open wide, then you'll hear the people shout, 'Put those bloody woodbines out, because you are the West Kent boys.'" Christ, they loved it. They loved it. Anymore, you know. Of course, oh dear. Funny how I can remember that, isn't it? Bill Basham. Never seen a go in him, though. That's the trouble. You see these blokes, you get attached to them, used to them. Gone. Same as old Les Crouch, see? One minute I was with old Les, next minute he disappeared. Or he said the other way around, you disappeared.
So where did you fly to?
Dimapur. An airfield at Dimapur. That's, I don't know how many miles from Kohima. But that, where we landed, that was the main road from some other part, you know, into Dimapur, from Dimapur up to Kohima, from Kohima to Imphal, that sort of thing. And then from Imphal, I think it was into...
Is that the Tidim Road? Continues on south.
We went down the Kidding Road later, but I was just trying to think. No, it was something track.
Silchar? It doesn't matter,
I know. No, I can't remember where that is now, but I know later on we were on the Kidding Road going, you know.
What was Dimapur like?
Only a little small place, you know. I'll tell you the truth. We had cinema. We had our own lorries with stuff on, those chocolates and stuff there, beer, drinks, all that. Oh yeah, we had all that. And we had George Formby. George Formby or two or three other well-known ones. One particular couple, man and woman, I can't name, somebody and Young, and we had to knock up a bit of Les and I, and that quickly it was. Oh yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was quite near. The enemy weren't far away. So you've got to give credit where it's due. They didn't know, we didn't know how close the enemy were. But anyway, we enjoyed ourselves. And this Ken Wayne Young got it. Husband and wife. We had to fix up a bit of a counter. And of course they say, now picture, this is a hotel. This is to go into the reception. And in a way, in comes the husband, he's at the counter, and in she comes, his wife, she comes in with two cases, she goes up to the reception, bloody funny, we're all sitting around watching this. Excuse me, please. Are you the proprietor of this establishment? No, ma'am. I'm only the old bar steward. We loved it, you know. That was one of the sketches. And then George Formby came on, and his wife, Beryl, he'd say, any particular tune, cleaning windows or anything? Yeah, cleaning windows. And he'd go, oh, and he'd pass that banjo back, and she'd give him another banjo. They're all tuned for each different type of song, all tuned in. Yeah. Yeah, poor old George. They went back after that, and I met Vera Lynn, but that wasn't there, nowhere near there.
Did you enjoy getting some entertainment?
Oh, blimey, yes. Hell yeah. Yeah. Oh, crikey, yeah. Some of it was very good, you know, anything a bit, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the cinemas, the big cinema screen. You could go around the back and see it the other way around. Yeah. that was pretty good.
So what happened next then?
Where are we now then?
Diverpool.
Well, we were there for quite a while, unloading and all that sort of thing, and sending out listening parties, that sort of thing. Right out, someone would go about 20-odd mile and come back and said, so-and-so, nothing there, and some there, and all the rest of it.
Did you go on any of these parties?
Yeah, went out two or three nights, but nothing. Oh, not then, nothing happened, but there was one night, that was another part, when we went out with a young officer, and we crawled along this ridge, and there was the old Jap sitting there having a brew up. So we could have got rid of him straight away. And he said, no, I think we better report back. So we all crept back to our headquarters, and they reported it, and they sent another round and encircled them, tried to get them prisoners, but they wouldn't have it, mate. They'd done themselves in.
So you were checking, doing reconnaissance patrols to see how far the Japanese
advanced at
that point.
Yes, right. But all sorts of things. See, as you know, they send us up there. We were only up there a day, and they withdraw us.
So what happened?
Kohima, they brought us back. Well, they said nothing to, you know, sort of confusion. There was the Assam rifles and the Assam, another Assam lot, had been gradually retreating from inland, you know, outside of Kohima. They knew the Japs were coming towards them, so they fell back to Kohima. When they got back to Kohima, they sort of said, whoa, they made reports, because all these non-combatant blokes on there, civvies. When we came out, we went up there, we were only up there a day, and they drew us out, and while they come down the road, hundreds of them, all pulling out of Kohima. Orderlies, hairdressers, and all that sort of thing. Can you imagine? Because the hill was a convalescent hill, and they had all civilians there, you know, Indians and all the rest of it, and some sick, you know, pulling them out, coming out. And then the next day, what happened, high command, it was reported that they'd seen Japs somewhere else coming into Imphal, and so that's when we went back up.
What was the road like between Dimapur and Kohima?
It was a good road up, yes. Yeah, I mean, mind you, it dropped right away. You couldn't take no chances. I'll tell you what, we're at Kohima, they couldn't turn around when the lorries come up. In a confusion, the second time round, in the confusion there, as soon as that second time round, when we started unloading, as soon as we started getting out of the trucks, that's when they opened up on us. And of course, with the lorries on fire, a lot of the drivers ran for their lives. We had to run down the back to Kirkdimapur.
Who were the drivers?
Indians, all Indians. Yeah, Indian drivers.
And when you'd been ordered up the second time, mm-hmm. was it the whole of the unit?
Oh, only about... No, all... I doubt it was 200. I doubt it. I don't know. See, I don't know for sure. But no, the bulk was back at Dimapur. But they were going to send more up the next day. But I couldn't get up there. They'd cut the road. They'd cut the road, see? So that all them back there were lucky. I think we had only about... I might be, I don't really know now, but about 200, that's all there was of us. The rest were all up there. Was some coming back, retreating back into Kohima.
And what had happened on the road behind you when the Japanese opened fire on the trucks? Had that been cut by the Japanese?
Yeah, the Japanese had cut the road apparently two places. One was the other side of Dimapur, apparently. Yeah, it was in a bit of a mess. But we were relying on our own troops getting there, but they were late getting there. So it was hard work to dislodge them to try to get to us. So that's why it took 16 days.